Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored today by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner's Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new Media and American League Baseball, capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. My mother's maiden name is Kaplan. My favorite person in the whole world, after Mom, of course, was my grandfather, Sam Kaplan. I even convinced my wife to give my daughter Kaplan as her maiden name. So I must admit a touch of prejudice in reading cartoonist Terry Liebenson's daily strip, The Pajama Diaries. How could I resist the story of a family of Kaplans as told by someone who grew up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania? Because that's where my Kaplans are from, too. All that and the fact that The Pajama Diaries is funny. It makes me laugh. Now, before launching the Pajama Diaries, I don't know why I'm having trouble saying that. Before launching The Pajama Diaries in 2002, Terry was a writer and illustrator for American Greetings. She also did another strip for 2 years called Got a Life. This summer, Terry is taking the Kaplan family back to a time before Jill and Rob had kids. It's a chance, I think, to fill in parts of the strip's backstory and probably give the artist a change of pace, too. Terry, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
To me, it feels like having family on somehow. I don't know. It's kind of weird that way.
Yeah. Just hearing that, it's kind of uncanny.
it's strange. I have to ask, you're a Wilkes-Barre girl. Did you know many Kaplans back home?
Actually, I didn't really know many Kaplans. I've known Kaplans in other parts of the country, but not really in Wilkes-Barre. Not that I recall, anyway.
Isn't that funny? It's just, I made the Kaplan connection when I first started seeing the strip, and we see it here in the St. Petersburg Times. But it literally wasn't until I sat down and was preparing for today, and I saw where you were from, and I thought, oh, that's just too bizarre. So, you know, it's just
that is a coincidence. Yeah, I'll have to do some research next time I go home.
Yeah. Now, along the same way, it was interesting to learn that you started cartooning. You'll see where this is going in a minute, but you started cartooning as a young girl. Can you tell us a little bit about how you improved on your brother's old Archie comics?
Oh, boy. I pretty much vandalized them, I think. good thing he was out of the house by then. He's a lot older than me, so I think he'd already left for college by then. Otherwise, he would probably freak out about what I did to his poor collection. But, it was before I knew better. But I think I used to just take white out and just start making my own additions to those dialogue bubbles, and I like to modify the girls' wardrobes.
Really?
Add my own touches. Yeah, I was also an aspiring fashion designer at one point, so it was kind of an odd blend, yeah. So, yeah, I just completely damaged.
Damage then, collector's items now, you know?
Unfortunately, I don't know where they are anymore.
Oh.
I should do an extensive search of all the boxes in my mom's house.
Well, you know, it's funny. I read that, and that was another, and I swear this would be the last connection I possibly make, but I have to tell you that one of my earliest memories of Wilkes-Barre was going for a visit, and it was either the late 60s or early 70s, and meeting some cousins. We didn't live there. We lived in New Jersey. But meeting some cousins, Stanley, Billy, and Freddie Sorotkin. And Fred, who was the youngest, he had the most amazing collection of comic books I had ever seen. It was heavy on Archie's, and the family's basement was devoted to these comics. I mean, they had pine bookshelves that were built just so that he could store and categorize and alphabet, whatever the hell he did with his comics. So the end of the story, however, is that a few years later, one of many over the years, horrible floods had hit the city. And
right.
while I was too young to appreciate the devastation to the families and their property until I heard Fred's comic collection was wiped out. And then I was just heartbroken.
I remember that flood. Well, I don't remember it, but I know all about it. So I can imagine. Yeah, that did it. That did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Wow, so, but it's just a travesty what it did to that comic collection, of course.
Yeah, it is. You know, well, that
yeah.
above everything else, right? So, anyway. So what is it
right.
that last connection I make? I swear, what is it that appealed to you so much about comics so early? And how old were you when you started vandalizing your brother's comics?
I can't even remember how old I was when that came about. I must have just been in grade school. As far as comics in general, I don't remember how far back it went to. I just remember I've always drawn, and mm-hmm. I gravitated toward cartooning at a very young age. And of course, what inspired me, like I think every other person on Earth, was Peanuts. And I used to draw Snoopy and Woodstock all the time. And my brother also had a lot of Mad magazines, and and I used to just sit down and read those over and over again. So, and it's funny because I don't think I even recall ever buying my own. I would just read his over and over. I don't know why it didn't occur to me, but maybe I just didn't have enough allowance at the time. But I don't know. But I loved it, and it just kind of stuck. I moved away from comic books and really got into strips, but I do remember just perusing those for a long time.
Did you make corrections to Charles Schulz's work as well, or pretty much
never.
Just the art?
No. I don't recall that.
And if you did, you're certainly not going to admit it, I suspect.
Probably not. No, it's just the Archies. I don't know why. I think it was really just the whole visual of the Archies. I've always loved drawings of people and mm-hmm. Just figural work, so that's probably why. And just my love of women's clothing. I don't know.
Well, I want to see if I can absorb this properly. So what you're saying is you were satisfied with what the girls wore in Peanuts. So Lucy and Peppermint Patty, they were okay, but Betty and Veronica, you weren't happy with their clothes. I'm not sure what that says, but I just want to clarify.
I don't know. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Well, you know, the Peanuts characters were so squat too. It was kind of hard to do any modifications, I think.
Yeah.
But they were perfect. They were perfect as is.
All right. So do you remember the first time that somebody recognized your talent for doing this?
Oh, no. I've just been drawing for so long that I think it just became kind of a natural assumption that I would go into art in some manner or another. But there's really no point in time that I can recall, like just someone. I know that I've had great art teachers who really helped me gain some direction. But I've just been drawing for so long that I think it just kind of all blends together.
Hmm. Well, I want to give out our phone number if there's someone listening to us who has a question. If you like to talk to Terry Liebenson, the creator of the daily newspaper strip, The Pajama Diaries, give us a call, 1-646-595-3135. Of course, that only applies if you listen to us live today. If you're not, well, you can call, but we're not going to answer. and then this is unusual because I'm actually doing this chronologically, but you went to college at Washington mm-hmm. University in St. Louis, and I was very interested in this. I read that you bent the school to your cartoonist will.
I don't know if I go that far. Oh, boy. I remember there was a point where I was doing a major in illustration, and I still kept gravitating toward cartooning work. And I was doing a lot on the side with that, like for different publications on campus. But I just wanted to pursue it more. And I think by the time I was a senior, I really knew that's the direction I wanted to go in. And so there was a wonderful cartoonist and illustrator in St. Louis named Steve Edwards. And I'm trying to remember how it came about. I can't quite remember, but he ended up being the instructor for this cartoon independent study that I requested, and it worked out really well. And he was just a natural person, I think, to teach that. And we became friends, and I actually haven't talked to him in a long time, but he was just great, and I did so much work during that time. So that sealed it for me.
Well, he's actually here on hold waiting to talk. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But it says a lot, I think, that, you know, that you were that, I'm guessing here, but you were self-assured enough to know that you wanted to do the cartooning, and you kind of made the university work for you, as opposed to you bending to what the university wanted you to be, which I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, they were very accommodating. It was very nice, and I can't say enough about that. It was I feel really lucky with the education I had there. So yeah, definitely helped me get started. If anything, yeah.
And then not long after graduation, I guess within a year or so, mm-hmm. you wound up at American Greetings. So what's the good and the bad of the years you spent in the greeting card industry? Tell us, because that's something most people don't know anything about.
Well, I'm still there, actually.
Is that right?
We're not going to hear any good stuff, are we? No, you're not going to hear any. I'd like to remain employed. I have a very small contract right now. I work on Saturdays, usually, on cards. But I've been there, it feels like forever now. I think it's been forever. I applied to different greeting card companies when I got out of school. I'm just the type of person who kind of needs a steady paycheck when I can. and that just seemed to be, you know, pretty appropriate for what I do. And so I got a job here at American Greetings. It's headquartered in Cleveland. And I started out writing and illustrating humorous cards, and now I'm just primarily writing. I really don't do illustrations for them anymore, but it's always been a fun job, and very happy to have it.
How many cards do you think you've created over, and I'm going to tell you that by my math it's about 16 years. How many cards have you created over this period of time?
Oh, I couldn't even begin to to fathom a lot. I guess it would probably be in the thousands, I would imagine. Too many to count. And it's funny because anytime someone asks me for a specific card I've ever written, I draw a blank. I can't think of any. I probably wouldn't do justice anyway, but.
Now, what made you think I was going to ask you that? That's a silly thing. I do have a question about that industry, though, that I don't understand. So let's say this year I find the perfect birthday card, and I just think that is such a great card. And then 6 months later, I think, you know what, that card I got for Uncle Booby, I want to get that card and give it to, my nephew. But you can never find that card again. The thousands and thousands of cards, do they go out of style that quickly, or is it a fickle industry? How does that work?
You know, it depends on the card. Some specific jokes just stick around forever just because they sell so well, and some just kind of die out. Yeah, once the inventory runs out. There are certain ways they test market the cards, and it goes through changes every year. I swear, every other year they figure out another way of testing these cards. But, it really just depends how the card does. So you might see there probably are the same cards in one form or another, just they change the illustrations from probably since I've been working there. So that's not uncommon. And then you never know which way it's going to head either.
And Terry, have there been cards over the years that you were glad that you didn't have to sign your name to?
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, there are a lot of cartoons I've done that I've signed my name to that I wish
no.
I could take away.
No.
But it's the same. Oh, yeah, there are definitely cards. Oh, yeah.
Now, you did a different strip for about 2 years, Got a Life. Why did you set it aside after 2 years and then move on to something else? Was it not selling, or were you just not feeling it was going to work long term, or what happened there?
Well, first of all, it was sort of a different market. It was a weekly strip instead of a daily.
Ah, okay.
And so there are actually several factors behind that. The one was I was really hoping that I could eventually do it daily. Although I have to admit, I love the schedule, the weekly. It was wonderful. And I only had to work one day a week on that. And it was a great way to test the waters, though, to see if this is really something I wanted to do full time. And I really enjoyed it. Also, the main reason why I gave it up after 2 years, though, was because I got pregnant with one of my children. Who was it? my younger one. And so I had a baby, you know, I had a newborn and a toddler at that point, and I just needed to take some time off and just be there for the kids for a while. And then my lifestyle was changing too, because Got a Life was really about newlyweds, and I like to work from life, and I thought that it would just be better for my creative process to have something closer to the dynamics that I was living through. So I wanted to do more of a family type of strip, and so after I ended Got a Life, I took a break, and then I started thinking of the new strip, and it gave me a good amount of time to really get my bearings and to see where that was headed.
Yeah, I guess if you kept doing a strip that was newlywed-based, that after a while people would start to think, you know, she must really hate having kids and settling down. Because let's face it, the things that a newlywed is thinking and doing are very different than someone who's been, you know, 5 to 10 years of marriage.
Yeah, that's true. Although I think, you know, even... I remember getting some comments after Pajama Diaries was published from just people I've worked with through King Features, and they said, you know, the characters in Pajama Diaries are so much like the characters from Got a Life, the couple. And I said, you know what, it feels like it's just, I think it was just kind of an extension, really. It's almost like the same characters, but with kids. And the characters grow older. They probably would have grown older, too, had I continued Got a Life. But the drawing style is just so horrible. Pajama Diaries is an amazing improvement. Since then, I was really out of practice drawing. it was a good improvement, I think.
And tell us about the name, the Pajama Diaries. It's a great name. Where did that come from?
Well, this is interesting. Originally, it was called the Mommy Diaries when I first developed it, because really the strip is told from a mother's perspective. And when I first got the call from Jay Kennedy over at King, he liked where the strip was going, but he thought it needed kind of a broader appeal, because I think at that point it was just really appealing more for mommies and more for moms than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And he wanted it to appeal to just, you know, more like parents and grandparents and anyone else. So he just wanted me to get rid of that title and think of something else. And it took a long time to come up with a new one. I'm actually pretty bad with titles, so I'm surprised that I even came up with it. But I like it because I think the idea just sparked from the idea of being able to work in your pajamas when you work from home. And I also think it just, you know, it's a diary strip. It has that sense of intimacy, and pajamas kind of echoes that as well. So that's kind of where that came from.
Well, and I mean, Pajama Diaries stands out, I think, in good part because Jill does narrate so many of the strips, which gives it that kind of unique voice. And it also, visually, it stands out on the page because, well, I mean, it's a lot more word-heavy than the strips are.
Mm-hmm.
And these, I'm thinking these were obviously conscious choices of yours to do the to have Jill narrate the strip and then also, you know, the words. Can you talk a little bit about where you started with that and how, if at all, those have you've adjusted those styles over this time?
Sure. It's definitely evolved in a sense. I'm trying to remember way back when I came up with this strip. I think I was reading different pieces of literature, and a lot of them were told. I think it was just popular at that time. They were told from like a first person point of view diary format. And I thought, you know, that might be kind of a cool idea for a comic strip. And I'm thinking, well, should it be told from just a journal itself, or can I combine it with dialogue? And I thought it would just add more dimension if I had both, if I had the journal combined with the dialogue. And I played around with it, and it seemed to work. It makes things harder in a sense because I have to basically tell two jokes at once, because I usually try and wrap it up with the journal and then with dialogue. But it's kind of evolved too. I'm trying to be very conscious and aware of not making the strips too text heavy anymore. I think they were more so a couple of years ago, and now I'm even playing around with just doing straight like single panel gags and just combining different techniques. But once in a while, though, a really text-heavy one will come through, and it doesn't. You know, I love playing with words, and I think as long as it's essential to whatever I'm trying to get across, then mm-hmm. I don't think there's really anything wrong with that. But I don't know. I like to mix it up, though.
I like the I used it on the show page. I think it's pretty recent strip where Jill is speaking in pajamas. Jill is in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Rob is in the bathroom, I guess, brushing his teeth. And over Jill's head is the interest ometer. In terms,
oh yes,
kind of lets Rob know what her level of interest in Amour might be that evening.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, and then I'm, I mean, you know, stuff like that. It just works great, and everybody gets
Thanks.
It. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I like that one too. I remember when I first did that, and I thought, am I really going to be able to get away with this? And I just threw it in there, and I didn't get any calls about it, so that was good.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I don't know why I'm bringing this into this conversation, but Howard Stern would maintain that if he uses the word penis, he gets in
mm-hmm.
huge trouble. But if Oprah uses the word, it's not
mm-hmm.
a problem. It's considered educational. And, you know, it's kind of like I imagine because your strip is generally family-oriented and you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
threatening in terms of its look or anything. You can do something like that, and you know, people just kind of laugh it off. But if it was in a different strip, it would be
mm-hmm.
taken a different
right.
way.
Yeah, actually, that's what I've been told by my editor many times. It's like you can't really get away with that in probably like a more historically modest kind of comic strip. But since mine was kind of dirty at the start. I wouldn't say dirty, but, you know, it pushes the envelope more. Then it's almost expected in a way. So, and it gives me that semblance of freedom. But I do have to be very careful. It actually used to be a lot more risque when I first started the strip. And I've actually toned it down quite a bit, believe it or not, in the last couple years.
Is that, I want to take a wild guess here. Does
mm-hmm.
that have something to do with the fact that you have children who are in school now and who have friends who have parents who see your work and, you know.
No, not really, at all.
That's affected a lot of decisions I make as a writer the last few years, as I realize that my daughter's friends are, and her their parents are aware of what I write, and I just think twice about certain things now. I wondered.
No, it really doesn't have anything to do with that. I look at it this way. If my daughter's old enough to read my strips, which she does, then she's old enough to ask questions. She's old enough to deserve honest answers, and I tend to use more innuendos that can imply other things, like, you know, just kissing or whatever. But she, most of those either go over her head, or she just interprets them in her own innocent way. But the reason I tone it down, I think it has more to do with just the fact that I don't want my work just to be based off of an off-color joke or anything like that. I want it to have more substance. And I think that's why I still love suggestive humor, but I just tend to tone it down a little bit more. And I don't know. And I think I've just kind of softened that way over the last couple of years. But, it doesn't really have any... my kids really haven't made much of an impact on that.
Okay.
I know in the beginning, my daughter still read them quite a bit, or she would have me read them. But I probably would have skimmed over those parts.
Who makes you laugh, both in the comics and outside the comics?
Oh, boy. Honestly, I have so many cartoonists I love. I couldn't even pinpoint any. I would say outside of cartooning, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'll put it on in the background if I'm doing art, and I love some of those parody news shows like The Daily Show and Colbert Report, and I have to listen to it just about every day, and just I think some old staple shows out there. I love Scrubs; that's one of my favorites. But I'm not like a big, I don't watch a lot of, comics on TV so much. I'll watch shows. As far as comics go, I've just had so many influences, and there are just so many good cartoonists out there. It's really hard to pinpoint.
Okay. Well, of course, the occasion for us talking, and I didn't want you to think I forgot this, is that there's a big arc going on right now in Pajama Diaries. I guess this is for about 5 weeks. You're taking Rob and Jill backwards to look back at her first pregnancy and how they handled becoming parents. What made you decide to go down this road at this point?
Good question. I recently did a Mother's Day Sunday strip that flashed back in time to when Jill had her first child, and I just remember in the back of my head, I thought, you know, that might be kind of a cool type of storyline. And then I wrote it down. I remember writing it down just for a general idea, and then I came back to it again, and I realized that, you know, it's actually the same time frame I'm going through where I wouldn't say celebration, but I remembered it's like the 10-year anniversary of when I first got pregnant with my older daughter. And I thought, you know, it's kind of like a milestone mark, and that might be a really cool segue into doing a flashback strip. So I started writing it. And I had a lot of fun, and I originally thought maybe I'd just do a week's worth or 2 weeks worth of strips about it. But and I've said this before, actually, I think the idea of pregnancy is so multifaceted that there's just so many areas you can go with it. And I found myself writing and writing and thinking of new ideas and new storylines just within that storyline. And it just kind of bombarded. I think I had about 2 months of strips when I was done, and I actually narrowed it down to 5 weeks. But in the end, I thought it was just really fun and held its interest And so, yeah, it definitely, I think, spices things up a little bit. Just add some, just add something different.
Now, I'm curious, in today's installment, mm-hmm. Jill is talking to a couple of her friends, and it turns out they, too, are pregnant.
Yeah.
Did that actually happen to you, where friends, you and your friends were pregnant at the same time, like that?
Yeah, it did.
Wow.
I think at that point, though, everyone was just getting pregnant, everyone I knew. So it was more than a coincidence. I think it was just the age group I was in at the time, too. You know, we're
was
all
it
in
a cold
our
winter in Cleveland, or what? What happened?
Oh yeah,
that'll do it. You know,
was there a blackout that time? I don't know. there was something in the water that. But it's true. Although I don't think that's what really sparked the idea, but I just thought it would be really funny to throw that in there that Jill finds her friends being pregnant at the same time out of this weird coincidence. But it did happen. It's true. And we had very similar due dates, too, which was also kind of funny in real life.
And will your readers feel differently at all about the Kaplan family when the flashback ends in early August?
I don't know. Maybe I think it just adds maybe another dimension to the characters because they're seeing something they haven't seen before about them. Because when I created the strip, the kids were already kids. They hadn't been born. And so in a way it kind of traces back to the roots of the kids themselves. But I think in a way it also kind of gives a little bit of a backstory to Jill's job too and why she decided to be a freelance graphic designer because it delves into that a little bit too. So it probably just adds like more perspective from that.
We're not going to find out that Rob did not want to be a father and hated every minute of finding out that.
No.
No. Okay.
That would definitely add another twist.
That would be like, you know, sometimes you see on these TV shows, they go backwards in time and you find out what?
Mm-hmm.
The kid was an accident and the father hates the kid? So,
well,
maybe
I could flash back to the second child. And
yeah, well, well okay. And do you think, are there any misconceptions out there about the pajama diaries that, you know, people, either they jumped on late and they missed something or that they're not getting, you know, when you talk to people, do you find that there's something that they don't mm-hmm. quite understand?
The only time I can really remember that happening, as far as I knew, is I remember this was pretty early on, but I remember getting an email from someone. I guess their paper had just picked up the strip, and they were commenting on a Sunday strip, and I'm trying to remember this strip. It had to do with a working mom. I think it was called The Working Mom's Pool String Doll, and she's just spurting out different things like, if I could even remember, like, no, the babysitter cannot be in the photo, the family photo, and it's not quantity time, it's quality time, you know, just to kind of justify being a working mom. And I don't know how, but this woman misconstrued it and thought that I was dissing working moms. And, you know, she kind of went on a little tirade, and then I emailed her back and just, you know, kind of set things straight and said, no, it was just a parody of a working mom. The woman is actually a working mom. And when she saw it in that light, she, you know, she apologized. She said, oh, I'm going to start reading it from now on. So, and I think that was the first day that it came out in her particular paper. But I think it's pretty fairly easy to catch on. It's hard for me to say. I'm kind of a poor judge of that since I don't have much objectivity or too much objectivity, I don't know. But I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure. You could probably tell me that better than I can.
Listen, they're Kaplans. I got all objectivity with me is gone. and just a couple more things before we let you go, but how have sales held up for the strip? I understand you're around 100, but I see that even Gary Trudeau today resorted to begging newspapers to stick with comics in today's Doonesbury. I mean, it's got to be a tough time.
It is tough for everyone. It's definitely a challenge. Yeah, not just my strip, but I know probably just about every cartoonist out there has their concerns. Luckily, not good. Mine's held up well. There have been some paper losses just because of paper closings, but so far not too bad at all. It's a challenging time, but at the same time, I'm trying not to look at it as a dire situation. I'm looking at it more as a transitional time, because I think there's going to have to be some other kind of media outlet for comic strips. I can't imagine comic strips going away entirely. So whether it's on the internet or like a mobile app or just in another print outlet, I'm not sure. I think they'll still be around. It's just kind of a wait and see process.
Are we going to see Pajama Diaries in American greeting cards anytime soon?
I don't know. It's a good question. I actually just presented that, but I'm not sure if they have any avenues or not. But yeah, we'll see. I can't make any promises. I'm exploring that.
Good. And for it seems like a very neat fit. But and for fans of the strip, or for those who want to catch up on what's gone before. Any movement towards the strip being collected in book form?
Yes, hopefully. I'm working on that as well. I'm looking into that now. I'm trying to make it a priority. I have to admit I've been pretty lazy about it in the past couple years. I remember looking into it at one point, probably about a year ago, delving into it, and then I just got so busy that I had to put it in the back burner. But now I'm kind of ramped up about it, and my husband and I are actually both looking into or trying to look into both the business end and the creative end, and I'm going over my strips and seeing what's what, and I am hopeful to get it out in the collection. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm going to try and get it moving as soon as I can.
I know my daughter came upon a Baby Blues book, I'm trying to remember when, and I hadn't paid that much attention to it up until that point, but she sat down and she started reading it, and she was like laughing constantly, and then she wanted more and more, and then she's moved on to Zitz since then. She should be 13, and same kind of thing. It's interesting, these collections do a great service, I think, to the cartoonist, because especially when you're dealing with characters that have growth and things change, you can actually sit down and read it all at once. So I hope you'll get to do that before too long.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I hope so too. I totally agree with that. I know that's something I used to do a lot. I used to read a lot of anthologies as a kid, and I could definitely see how your daughter enjoys that. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful about that. I will light a fire in my belly and keep up that. And,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thanks.
All right, well, folks, listen, you can find Terry Liebenson's comic, The Pajama Diaries, in great newspapers everywhere. And if it's not in your newspaper, you got to call them up and say, I want to read The Pajama Diaries, right? Very simple. And you can also find it, you can read some of them on kingfeatures.com. Click on comics. Everyone keeps telling me about comicskingdom.com, and I know that, but every time I go there, I do not understand how that site works, so I kind of hesitate to send people there. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. So, but you can find it there too, I'm told. And
Daily Ink too is another good option. That's a subscription base. Yeah.
Go to Daily Ink. Terry, it's been a lot of fun to read the strip. Like I said, I feel this connection to it because of the Kaplans and the Wilkes-Barre and all that stuff. But it was very nice to have you on the show. And thanks so much for being on Mr. Media today.
Thanks, Bob. It was great. Thanks so much.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite comics artists and writers, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the creators of Mutts, Zitz, Leo, Pearls Before Swine, Beetle Bailey, High and Lois, Baby Blues, Curtis, Goats, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant, Digital Journal, Vox, Podcast Pickle, MediaFly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.